Praise and thanks be unto the Lord for his grace and faithfulness, for the great privilege that we can hear his word, believing it, receiving it. When we have just sung with all our hearts, I tried to put myself into the situation of those who cannot sing like this with all their hearts. And it's all our prayer that the end of the song is from the first to the last, that they can sing for the glory of the Lord with all their hearts. With this it shall be expressed that God in this service this afternoon may do something in all of us, and he will do something. I had to think here on a story, and you know very well that I'm not a storyteller. It just doesn't suit me at all. But it's a story which just touches me right now. And I just think about it. When in the United States the first atheists came up, this is not long ago, there was a meeting, and in this meeting the atheist gave his reasons for it, that there is no God. And when he was about finished, a man came through he was walking through the building, and on the way to the front he rolled up his sleeves. A strong, a tall, strong man. He came to the front, and because he rolled up his sleeves, and this good man saw it, he of course stepped back from the microphone, and he could not do otherwise but to give room to this man and to leave him the mic. The man didn't say one word. He put his hand into his pocket and he took out an orange from it. And before all the audience, he started to slowly peel this orange, just to take away the peel, very slowly, without saying one word. And when he just peeled this orange so nicely, he started to open up this orange in its members. All watched it. No man said a word. And when he was finished with opening the orange up, he started to eat one piece after the other piece. And all are watching it. And no one says one word. And when he was finished with eating, he turned to the atheist and he asks him the question, "Tell me, was this orange sweet or was it bitter?" And he answered, of course, "How can I know this? I of course didn't eat it. You must know it, because you have eaten it." And don't ask what this man gave him as the answer. There, before all the people, he told him, "You spoke about a matter which you didn't eat. You don't know anything about it. Today, 1 week ago, I was in a service and God spoke to my heart and I obeyed the altar call. I've seen and I tasted that God is friendly. Let me speak about God because I experienced God. Beloved, this is a true story. There are few stories which are told, which are true. Let me tell you today, we are not people who speak about things which they don't know about, but we are people who had an experience with God. And all who didn't have yet an experience with God, they shall do it this afternoon with God. He is present. Let me read a word of Psalms before we pray. Psalms 103, the last verses. From verse 19, the Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let us stand up for prayer. Heavenly Father, with all our hearts, we thank you for the great privilege that today we can speak with you, the holy and true God. We are coming under the protection of the blood of the Lamb. We are ashamed of ourselves, but we are not ashamed of you. And also not of your wonderful gospel. We thank you for the good news. Lord, this afternoon may it be consecrated to you. Work fruit for eternity. Meet me and meet us all in your word. Come with the power of your Spirit over all of us. Lord, every other spirit may it be banned in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. O God, while your word goes forth, may salvation, healing and deliverance take place under the sound of the proclamation of the gospel. May your blood and your spirit be at work. Lord, we consecrate ourselves to you and we believe that the time has come near in which not only healing miracles, but creation miracles will take place. Lord, Almighty God, be merciful to me and to all of us, and reveal yourself to us for your faithfulness' sake. To you alone belongs all the praise and honor, all the glory and worship from eternity to eternity. Amen. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive all the praise, glory, and honor and worship. Thou art worthy, O Lord. You may be seated. At the weekend, on Friday, I was traveling to London. I had a conversation there with Dr. Professor Long, a man who received the message from head to toe, who lives in it, and who just had one wish to have a part in that what shall take place in the English-speaking countries. I've letters with me at home in a large number, even to the last, in which a letter from America was written to a preacher in India. Send us first $163. And then we will send you one whole set of the sermons of Brother Branham. When I was reading this letter, on purpose, I carefully keep it. Then something pierced my soul. And I said, Lord, if it is thy will, then let us also take the English responsibility, so that not only the people of the first and the second world, but also the people and nations of the third world can hear the revealed word of God. And Brother Long, at the same time, he was touched in his heart. We contacted each other. He said, Brother Frank, how grateful I am for this phone call. Since 2 years, I resigned and I went into pension because I felt in my heart that I shall have a part in the kingdom of God. This is now my task. I'm happy about it. We will look after all English-speaking people in Asia and Africa, namely with the sermons which were preached after the opening of the seals, and the bride will come into lockstep. And I may inform you, in Düsseldorf we had a fair, exhibition about presses and so forth, printing, and we bought a new press, printing press, 11,000 Deutschmark cheaper than it would be in the original price, directly from the exhibition. We bought it for 38,000 Deutschmark, and we all dedicate this to the living God. The time is short. The time is serious. What we want to do, we must do it quickly. Then On Friday evening, I made use of the opportunity because I knew that two of the great evangelists from America, they will have their year's conference there. And in, at the evening, I visited the service of them. And this good man, who preached the main sermon, will be in September in Switzerland and in Germany. He will preach. And he said on Friday evening, he said, come on Saturday afternoon at 15 hours. And I will pray for all the sick personally. And it will be a service as you have never seen it and as you never experienced it. He said, by laying hands on, I will pray for everybody. And this I actually wanted to see, because this didn't happen until then. And so yesterday afternoon at 15 hours, I was there to see how this took place, beloved. I'm not the one who drives around to criticize. I have enough on myself, and perhaps each one finds a little thing on himself. But you know what happened? Cards were distributed. I brought with me one. I also received one, prayer cards. And they should be filled out with names and everything. And do you know what happened? Then he said suddenly, all these cards, I will let them be collected after you filled it out. And every card I will anoint with oil. And then he says, God has laid it on my heart. I will take them to Washington. And there I invite for a special meeting. I invite the co-workers. And then we will pray over these cards. Beloved, this was about that moment when I said to myself, now it is time that you get up and that you leave. And exactly this I have also done then. I understand more and more how important it is to hear the end time message and to have discernment of all the religious business and of the true working of God in this time. I can tell you, with two brothers who have come from Ghana, I never knew them before. I've never seen them before. We withdrew, and I wept bitterly. We went into the restaurant, which was in the same building. We went into a corner, and all three of us, we hugged each other. I could not do otherwise, but I wept bitterly. I said, brothers, here so and so it is about this matter. And when they heard that I was Brother Frank, the one said, listen, I am the first who received the sermons of Brother Branham in Ghana. And I said, what do you do here? And he said some things. But beloved, God has a wonderful way. He opened it. A man runs after me. And I said, I'm Brother Frank. And he listens a bit. I come out Trondheim from Norway. And do you know what? Suddenly, he heard the word Ewald. I don't like my first name. My name is Brother Frank. That's all. And with one moment, he uses his Norway. Are you Ewald Frank? I said, yes. And he started to weep. He hugged me. And he said, I believe the message of Brother Branham. Beloved, I could tell you some things here. Also, with such occasions, God has people whom he reaches. Another man at the reception from Cambridge, when he heard, I said, listen, I must tell you something from Brother Branham. He looks at me, has the key room in his hand. Since I have become a believer, I have heard that name, but I never read something about him. I said, give me your address, you get enough to read. And so just one thing came after the other. Beloved, wherever we might go, God is with us. He wants to use us. He wants to make us a blessing for others. How many have read the last sermon who was published and sent out in connection with the last circular? Did you all read it? It's not only a privilege for me, but it's a divine task to pass on these things to the people of God. It just pierced my heart when Brother Branham, at a time, he said, when I one evening was in prayer before the Lord, the Holy Spirit said, pick up your pen and write. And when I picked up my pen, the Holy Spirit gave me a message for the church. And then the sentence, herewith I'm bringing it to you. In it, it is about the word addressed to the bride. Beloved, we understood it, that the bride is called out from the church. The message in general is addressed to the church. And the promise at the end of every message is addressed to the overcomers. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. But before that it's written, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. And the Spirit, since ever, by the mouth of those he spoke, whom God ordained to address his word to his people. And when we at this place today, when we emphasize the ministry of Brother Branham, then not to criticize the ministry of other brothers, but to place the ministry divinely and the responsibility which is connected with it to show it to the people. Because it is still written in Amos chapter 3, verse 7, God does nothing unless he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Not to the evangelists, not to the elders, not to the deacons, but he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets. And we believe that Brother Branham was a man sent from God, a prophet who spoke in the name of the Lord. Yes, through whom God has spoken. Let me mention two, three things from this speaking of God, which was by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it was dictated to him. Let me read it. In these last days, the true bride church, Christ's seed, will come to the headstone, and she will be the super church, a super race, as she nears him. The word super from the English, we took it over into the German and we left it like this. What he actually means by it is a royal generation, a holy priesthood, sons and daughters of God, who shall be manifested in these last days. And we are convinced that the true revelation of Jesus Christ and the full revelation of the mysteries of God, the revelation of the divine resurrection power will be entailed. And that not only signs and wonders will take place in of a common way, but miracles and signs of an extraordinary kind, so that the bride can be distinguished from all the others. Until today, it still says, Christ is here and Christ is there. And about into a multitude of 4,000 people, one can cry out and call out, the truth shall set you free. What good is this statement for me? This statement is true if the man who preaches it has not recognized the truth himself and doesn't preach the truth at all. Then the statement or the repetition of the statement of a Bible verse, will it help the people? This verse, almost 2,000 years, it was repeated and repeated over and again, and the people remained as they were. If you want to read this word in the Gospel of John, it is of greatest significance. John, chapter 8, from verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This is the mystery of this scripture. The last part can, without the first part, not be fulfilled at all. All the biblical truths and the revelation of the divine mysteries are all ignored, as if God has done nothing. And then they speak of the truth, and the truth shall make free. There we have the question. Here the question to ask: what is truth? And the answer is, God's word is the truth. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is the truth. Here, the Lord Jesus addressed a word to the believing Jews. Today, he addresses this word to you and to me. If ye continue in my word, before we can abide in his word, we must have come into his word first. Amen. We cannot abide in this building if we have not entered this building first. In the Word of God, we can only abide in it if ye let ourselves be led into this Word by this Holy Spirit. And this is the actual starting point of this verse and the emphasis of this thought. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Whoever does not abide in his word is not even a true disciple of Jesus. The discipleship includes to leave every own way and to follow the Lamb wherever it might go. Disciple means pupil, learners, who sit at the feet of our Master, beloved. So many things are called the Word of God in this time, and it is not the Word of God. It's the own opinion about the Word of God. Now, when the man then even said, in around 10 minutes, I will give you a prophecy, then something became clear to me. And he said, I stand here as a prophet of God. Oh, I thought, how far shall the things go on? And in June 1958, I have seen him amongst many hundreds at a large conference in Dallas, Texas. I've seen him. Beloved, my heart is grateful and touched at the same time. Many have heard the messenger and have made use of the opportunity to build up their own kingdom within the kingdom of God. There was only one in this generation who had no great society, no great staff of managers, but he only did what God commanded him. Beloved, here today it's about to recognize with all our hearts, to be disciples of Jesus indeed. And then it says, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. After the revelation of the divine truth, after the Holy Scripture was revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, illuminated to us, and an inner illumination took place, and when we recognized the truth and abide in the truth, then we are his true disciples. And we go from knowledge to knowledge, and from clarity to clarity. And we recognize the truth, and we are set free from all error. To this belongs the truth about the Godhead, about the biblical water baptism. To this belong all the biblical truths. And not one single one of them we can leave from all this. Just the contrary. We have to leave everything put together just as God commanded it. Now, let me read from the Gospel of John here a precious word from chapter 16. Here it is written from verse 25, These things have I spoken unto you in proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in parables, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. The Lord, in many parables, he spoke, because it was written in Psalms, he will open his mouth in parables and speak to them in metaphors. And so the Lord unveiled the mysteries in parables. Throughout all the centuries, it was preached about the parables. The parables contain a mystery. In Matthew 13, our Lord said to the multitude, he only spoke in parables, but to his disciples he said, to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. To the others, I only spoke in parables, so that with seeing eyes they don't see, and with hearing ears they don't hear, and the heart does not believe. Beloved, there was a period of time in the ministry of our Lord, he spoke in parables. But here he gives the announcement, all these I've spoken to you in parables, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in parables. Throughout almost 2,000 years, the preachers of the gospel, they spoke of the parables. They preached about the parables and they were puzzled. Now at the end of days, it pleased the Lord to not speak through parables, not to speak through metaphors, not in a puzzling way, but freely and openly he spoke with us. The full revelation of Jesus Christ, the full revelation of his word, the full revelation of all the mysteries which since the foundation of the world were hidden. Some may ask, why did God not always do that, what he does now? Beloved, if you are already are not satisfied with you and your own doings, this is enough. Please be satisfied with God and his doings. What shall all our dissatisfaction, what shall all our objections be? God does what he likes. His will remains just, and it pleased him to leave the secrets until the end and to reveal it at the end time. In Revelation 16, it's written, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. This the Lord Jesus said before Calvary. He was certain of his matter. He knew that he would be crucified. He knew that he must die. But he knew even more. He knew that he would take away the power of death, and he would overcome hell, and that he would rise from the dead on the third day. And therefore he could already, in advance, he could say, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." He didn't say, "Listen, later on you must overcome the world." He said, "In the world ye shall have trouble. In the world ye are afraid. In the world ye are sorrowful. And you go through some kind of trials. But be of good cheer, for I, no other one, the Lord of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings," he said to his own, "be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. And I'm asking myself today whether not John, when he wrote his epistle, when he was reminded on this statement of our Lord, when he formulated the words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Faith is the victory which has overcome the world." Not only that faith, your faith is the victory which has overcome the world. Let us put these two things together. Firstly, the statement, "In the world ye are afraid. In the world ye shall have tribulation. You have your trials and all kinds of things." Then comes this wonderful emphasis, "But be of good cheer. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." And John writes, "Your faith is the victory of Calvary, which has overcome the world." And beloved, now I have the question. If our faith is the victory which has overcome the world, then most surely it can be said, unbelief is the opposite of that what faith is. Then one can just as well say, unbelief is your, is my, and your defeat. Faith is your and my victory. And I think we must come to a positive assessment of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And our faith must look away from ourselves, looking on him who on the cross gave his blood, who cried out, "It is finished," who gave his blood and life for us. Most surely, I've said it here a couple of time ago, most believers, the redemption work, they didn't grasp it yet. All their life through, they are busy with their own redemption, as if they could contribute anything to it, what they can do themselves.
Zu der Erlösung hinzutun könnten.
Let us understand this afternoon once for all. From God, we were chosen from before the foundation of the world. We were predestinated to be sons and daughters of God. On the cross of Calvary, the price was paid for. And this we believe with all our hearts and with all our souls. Although the divine nature is not fully manifested in your and my life, yet we are in a spiritual growth by the grace of our God. And when Paul, such a great man of God, he could say, not as though I had already attained, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, for I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. That's how it is written in Philippians 3. Beloved, let us no longer look on our failures. When shall we start to understand who we are in the eyes of God? A royal priesthood. Earthly speaking, we may be rascals, but God made us a royal priesthood through Jesus Christ our Lord, to sons and daughters of God, so that no man can glory before him. That's why he laid it in such a way. What shall we say to it? Let me read two scriptures, because God's word is just so wonderful. That one cannot easily ignore it. Ephesians chapter 3, from verse 4, we read, whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Here, Paul made the declaration that the mystery of Christ, and many times we heard it, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Whoever wants to meet God must meet him in Jesus Christ. Because God, according to his nature, is spirit, and he became man for the sake of man. God met you and me in Christ. You and I, we can only meet him alone in Christ. Therefore he said, no one comes to the Father but by me. This we understood, and for this we are grateful. And our Lord, of course, said, the hour comes when I will no more speak to you in parables, but I will openly tell you everything. And here, in Colossians chapter 1, from verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God.
Vollkommen auszurichten, nämlich das Geheimnis,
even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Is this not a wonderful word? Also at that time, the people could have said, why did God not reveal these things already previously? Why must Paul say, all these things were hidden to the children of men, but now revealed to his saints? In this connection, it is written the formulation to fully fulfill the word of God. Not only a part, not only to take a part of the word, but that all the word of God from Genesis 1 up to Revelation 22 summarized, and then a revelation of God being given to the people of God. Of course, there were many apostles and many men of God, but only one Paul. And there are many servants of God, many men who with a sincere heart, and also others who might go out, but God has given us the grace to recognize of what it is all about now. And please keep in mind these two scriptures from Colossians 1 and also that from Ephesians chapter 3. And if you permit me, and with this I come to the close, I read you Acts chapter 3 from verse 21. And you will see in what kind of way God has summarized these things. Perhaps already from 19. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Of what is it about in this context? About that what was hidden to the generations before, what God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets, this shall be revealed in connection with the time of refreshing. And the time of refreshing is the latter rain. And Brother Branham said, as the teaching had to forerun the early rain, so now the teaching foreruns the latter rain. And I tell you, the word of God, which we have sown by faith, will come forth. And not only 30-fold or 60-fold, but hundredfold fruit it will bring forth, because we are living in that time in which the full wheat is gathering in the ear. We are no more in the stadiums of the development. We have reached the end of time. The life which came forth through the stalk and comes into the ear, this life gathers around the harvest time in the individual ear, in the husk. Who knows a wheat ear? Beloved, a wonderful thing. A wheat ear, perhaps when it's small, it consists of 36 corns. Yeah. But you know, around each one is the little husk, so that there's no friction among each other. Beloved, may we thank God for everything with all our hearts. God has a frictionless church. And I tell you, we are not only dealing with ourselves and with the Lord. Sometimes it's the enemy who wants to throw a spoke into the wheel. Let us always distinguish between the precious brother and sister and between the enemy who just wants to use them as a tool. When Peter spoke so quickly, the Lord had to say, "Satan, get thee behind me." It was of course not Peter to whom he said, "Get thee behind me." He addressed him who really had to be addressed. And the same we must also do. Let us love one another in the divine love, bearing one another, accepting one another, bearing one another pain and sorrow. We all were pardoned by God, and we feel for one another. And you will see, if we carry one another in prayer, God will bless us in a mighty way. And one brother said once upon a time, he said, "Do you know why I always ask that they should pray for me?" He said, "I don't like to say it, but the purpose is that so that they cannot speak about me." And I think this is a very nice thing. I ask you all, and I'm sincere and honest enough to tell you, remember me in your prayers. May the matter of God be carried. We're not only in a battle. With Jesus, we are already victors. He knew already then that he won the victory. And look at the people of Israel. Do you think it listens to empires? The omnipotence of God is behind these people, although they didn't recognize the Messiah yet. What shall be with us as the New Testament people of God, who we recognized Jesus Christ, the Messiah? How should we surround the enemies? Either we are prisoners of the circumstances, or we take captive the circumstances. Which decision shall we make? Let us make and respect the divine decision. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. Also you, be of good cheer. Your Lord says to you and to me today, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I've won the victory. Hallelujah. His victory is our victory. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord, our God, for he is worthy. Amen. Let us stand up. Let us pray. Before we pray, let us bow our heads. Let us seek and find the fellowship with God in this joint prayer. All the requests we want to bring to the Lord now. Firstly, for those who would like to dedicate their lives to God today. The time is coming to its end. The coming of the Lord is near. Who was addressed today in his heart? May just briefly, while all eyes are closed, raising your hand. Thank you. May God bless you all. Who has come today with a request to receive healing of the body from God? Let me see your hands. God bless you all. God bless you. Thank you. Who feels that his spirit is not free, but is under the leadership of another spirit, that you cannot make your decisions as you would like to make it, and you have the impression that another influence is present. Raise briefly your hand and put them down. It is difficult at such a question to raise the hand, but it's something very common. Nobody needs to be ashamed of it. In the Bible it's written of a woman that the Lord, seven devils, he cast out of her, and she served him, she loved him. Who are we that we should be ashamed of it? We should be ashamed if we don't come to the Lord, if we want to remain as we are, then we should be ashamed. But when we come to him, that he helps us, so that he delivers, so that he saves, so that he can bless, of that we are not ashamed of. God bless you all. Who else has another trouble, a prayer request? I know all of us, we have prayer requests. God knows them. He knows before we call what it is, and he wants to answer. Let us now sing together the chorus, Only Believe, and then we go right into prayer together. And everyone prays for everyone, and also for oneself. The Holy Scripture. Let us look it up. The prophet Isaiah, chapter 53. Let us pray together. Lord our God, your word is not only in a book written on pages of paper. Your word is in our hearts. It was written in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Oh God, We don't need to shout as the Baal priests. You are the keeper and the shepherd of Israel. You don't sleep nor slumber. Let our prayers, because of the shed blood, let them ascend to your throne of grace, O Lord. Save every soul. Deliver every spirit. Heal every body. Lord, let miracles take place. Salvation, healing, deliverance, yes, creation miracles shall take place in your name, by your power. Dear Lord, as we don't shout at any man when we speak with him, so we also may speak with you as a friend speaks to his friend. Lord, you said, I no more call you my servants, but my friends. For a servant has no insight into the doings of his master, but ye know it. Lord, I thank you, and I praise your holy name. You were so friendly, and you spoke to us. You made the decision in every heart. You have given faith by your grace under the sound of the proclamation of your word. We believe in you as the personal Savior, Healer and Redeemer, believing that you shed your blood, O Lord, for the remission of sins for many. Lord, we come to you as we are. We don't want to have emotions, not something mentally. Lord, by your word, not our feelings, our heart and soul shall be addressed and reached. Lord, our God, you have made us worthy to hear your word in these last days. You have given us grace to distinguish among the many voices, and we checked it with your word. Hallelujah. To your name. The scripture is being fulfilled before our eyes. If you would stand today at this place, you would open up the scriptures from the Old Testament, the prophets, and from the New, and you would say, this day, this scripture is being fulfilled before your eyes. Lord, I thank you, and I praise you, that you addressed a word to your church, to your bride, and you have sent a preparer of the way into our way, so that we find your way. Lead us all on the right path for your holy name's sake. Lord, touch every one of us. And let now, in this moment, something happen by your power, under the sound of your word, through the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. May all experience their salvation, their healing, their deliverance now. and accepting it. Thanking God for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand up for closing prayer. Heavenly Father, with all my heart I thank you for the great privilege to have a part in that what you are doing now. What was hidden to the children of men in the past ages and was not preached, this you now revealed to your people by the sending of your last angel, your messenger, addressed to the last church age. Lord, we thank you today, firstly for you, for what you have done for us. We thank you for all prophets which you used, for all the apostles, for all the servants, until our days. You made yourself a living testimony, a memorial on this earth, that you are alive and that you revealed yourself to individuals and to all of your people. And I thank you that you, at the end of time, you don't let your people stand as a dead memorial, but as a dwelling place of God in the Spirit, in which you can manifest yourself in a mighty way. Take us all and do with us as you like. Blessed and praised, sanctified be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen.